1390 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Police snipers noticed the gunman hovering around the outskirts of the Trump rally site earlier than previously known, according to text messages obtained by ABC News. ABC's Aaron Katursky's talked with local police SWAT team members from Beaver County, Pennsylvania, like Greg Nichols, who says he spotted the gunman pulling something out of his bag.
It ended up being a rangefinder. At first, I was like, it can't be a rangefinder. I thought maybe it was a monocular. I had my binoculars, so I zoomed in, and I was like, that's a rangefinder.
And that sends up a flag in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting a higher rating, especially among independents, in the latest ABC News Ipsos poll, Democrat Kamala Harris lower, especially among independents, Republicans Donald Trump and running mate J.D. Vance. Millions in the U.S. and Canada are under alerts about smoke from wildfires in western areas traveling south and east. The fires include the biggest in California in the north near Chico. This is ABC News. At the Paris Olympics in swimming, American Tori Husk won gold and teammate Gretchen Walsh won silver in the women's 100-meter butterfly. Afterward, Walsh.
Definitely a tough one. I think 100 fly has changed a lot for me and my perspective going into it. It used to be kind of my fun, no-pressure event, and there's definitely pressure now, and that's just a reality that I have to face.
This star shaking off a calf injury to post an impressive gymnastics all-around score in Paris, ABC's Maggie Rooley.
An Olympic comeback for Simone Biles. Today, the 27-year-old soaring above the other gymnasts with the highest scores in vault and floor, heading into the individual all-around final, seated number one. Her coach joking afterward, not perfect, so she can improve even. Joining her in the all-around, teammate and defending gold medalist Sunisa Lee, making her own comeback after battling kidney disease.
At the Olympics, ABC's Maggie Rooley, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and this is your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about using coupons to save on prescription drugs. Pharmaceutical coupons are different than coupons at, say, the grocery store. I am not talking about saving you 50 cents on a box of mac and cheese. It is common for pharmaceutical coupons to save you as much as 80% on the drugs that you need. I mean, this could be hundreds of dollars. So how do you find them? Well, you start with the websites GoodRx and SingleCare. Those are services that focus exclusively on prescription coupons. Now, you should also ask your doctor and at the pharmacy counter about manufacturers' coupons or programs. But you have to ask. Sometimes the pharmacy has a sign-up program direct with the manufacturer, but you can't find it online, and they aren't allowed to tell you about it unless you ask. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Happy Saturday night, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media, original local music from Wisconsin. It is time for Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Powered by First Weber, sell or buy your next home right now at movetomadison.com. And also sponsored by the Lazy Oaf Lounge. Handcrafted food, live music, karaoke, and trivia. Visit them today on Madison's northeast side or check out their website at lazyoaflounge.com.
Jimmy, it's time for Live in the Lair with Mojo Perry. And Mojo Perry is a profound figure in the underground music scene, captivating audiences with his exceptional guitar skills and soulful compositions. Over the course of 20 years, he has released 9 albums of seamlessly blended blues-infused psychedelic rock, and Perry is renowned for his distinctive sound and evocative guitar tones. But 10 years ago, Mojo Perry encountered a profound challenge as he found himself as one of the countless victims of America's opioid endemic. Embarking on a journey towards recovery and self-discovery, Mojo Perry is a story of triumph over adversity and a comeback in music with a story to tell and songs to write. Mojo Perry, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you, guys. I am so honored to be here. You have no idea.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen you, man. Yeah. It's been a couple of years, but you look great.
Thank you.
That's Jimmy, awesome.
Jimmy was saying something, and he thought you appeared on the show at some point before. Was that?
I thought maybe not this one, but I think he might have joined us either at WSUM or perhaps at the Whisk over during one of the Jimmy K
shows.
I believe it was
the Whisk.
Whisko.
WSUM does ring a bell as well.
Oh. So you're always saying no, Jimmy.
A couple.
It's been a while. It's great to see you again.
Likewise, I was so happy when I saw that you guys were here. It just made me feel warm and welcome. You guys rock, man.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, before we find out about who Mojo Perry is, let's hear a song, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
The first song you have for us tonight, it's called The Story Song. It's your most popular song. Tell us about this song before you play it.
Well, you know, when I first wrote it, I was, like a lot of artists, I was a kid. And I just had this melody, and I love working in that waltz, that 6/8 time, and it just kind of fit perfectly. And originally, it was called the Telephone Song. you know, tell you how much younger I was when I wrote it, and then eventually, I started writing it differently, and it evolved and evolved, and it just got to be this really special thing that every time we perform it, in fact, we'll play it at Atwood Fest, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
Right, and it's just one of my personal favorites. Stories end and stories come, stories go, right?
It's a great way to kick off the night with Mojo Perry live in the lair. If you want to call and ask questions, you can do that right now. Mojo would love to say hi to you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text from the Civic Media app. You're live in the lair with Mojo Perry.
Johnny Boy Blue, everyone yelled and they picked on a little fool. So he shut himself from the world, all he left was his guitar. Happiness is as happiness does. What really matters is how we all try to live our life. Whether we win or lose doesn't even really matter. Dreams that come and dreams they go. The only time they die was when you don't follow your heart. Sometimes I wonder why I even try. The end of the story,
It's true and blue that little boy became famous for how he played his box guitar. And it's funny how we are taught to think about each other.
Nice. Mojo Perry live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us from the Civic Media app.
Now, Mojo Perry, your deep-rooted passion for guitar, it starts at 5 years old.
Way back, late bloomer.
Tell us your backstory. How did you get into music?
I was really close with my mom before she passed, and I, of course, ask a lot of questions like a lot of adults do. And my mom told me that when I was five, she came home from visiting her relatives in Ohio, and all I remember seeing was this head of a guitar case come through the door. Now, I hadn't seen my mom in over like a couple weeks. You know, I grabbed that guitar, and I took off with it. And, my mom said that from that point on, to any time she wanted to know where I was, she just had to stop and listen, and then she'd find me. And that went on right up until I left the door. So,
wow.
Did your parents play music, or did they push you toward playing music? What kind of influence did they have?
Mom was a concert pianist, and she could sight read. I used to sit at the end of the hallway in mornings on weekends and just listen to her play. Oh, it's amazing. Bach, Mozart, all of it. She's amazing.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Now, how old were you when you started performing live?
I had a teacher in school that was, and of course, this is in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan. So quick shout out to Houghton, Michigan. All right, all my Upers, right? Uper love. Right?
Okay, in the Upper Peninsula?
Where in the UP is that?
Well, that is about less than an hour shy of No More Land. You go up north, way up into that UPA, God's area code is 906. Yep, that is. I do this thing with my hand here. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
See? I'm up here. There's no thumb.
So you're far northern. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, Uper. Okay. 220 inches of snow a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Land of ice and snow, Robert Plant says.
So how old were you when you started performing live?
I was 14 when I did my first classroom. I'd bring my guitar to school. It's how much I played.
Wow.
And it really just was such a big part of my life. I think even to this day, my classmates that I bump into, they say that was always a part of my identity. So really, I don't have any memories of it not being prolific in my life.
So you knew you were going to be a musician.
Yeah, yeah. There was no choice in the matter. It just was a natural course of events, yeah.
So. It's amazing how that works out. So you like you said, you started out in the UP.
Yeah.
You moved to Milwaukee for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I lived in Milwaukee, Chicago.
What was that? What was like big going from the UP to Milwaukee or Chicago?
I went to Chicago. Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, it was one of the things where like it was looking back on it, I was insane.
It had to be culture shock. I mean, going from the UP to a big city like that.
Right. I had never been more excited. And I wrote this very, in my book, it came out, I got this piece called The Hug. And I wrote it that morning before I got on a plane to leave out of Marquette, Michigan. And when I got to Chicago, I knew one person. And that was the person who invited me to come live with them. And I went there and showed up with my guitar. And O'Hare Airport, I had never been anywhere that big ever in my life. And
wow.
Like an idiot, I said, I'm not going home.
And O'Hare's crazy.
I ripped my ticket in half, my
really?
Trip. So, and I toughed it out.
That's crazy.
But you grow up real fast in that environment. You just become a different person. And I adapted to it. I always had this thing like, if I can deal with all that snow and driving and all that crap, you know, man, I can handle Chicago.
And then you came to Madison. What drew you to Madison here?
You know, and I never really spent time here. And so when I wanted to focus on my health, you know, I wanted to go someplace where I knew that I was comfortable. And I had people here that I wanted to be near. And that's how I wound up here. And it was really kind of as simple as that. I was ready for a change. I wanted to get rid of my environment where I was at the time. Just a change, you know?
How long did it take for you to fall in love with Madison?
Well, about 15 minutes, you know? You know? Yeah, you learn really fast about how good a city is, you know, the way that they treat you. And, you know, I came here to be really quiet. My neighbors have been very responsive. I quit riding a motorcycle up and down. So that kind of killed the beef, you know. So right. I started to fit in, and I love it here. So,
well, you know, Mojo, a 26-year long-standing medical condition that has caused you severe pain led you to a critical point. Using pills to deal with pain issues, it's a part of your journey. Tell us about your struggle.
Well, you know, I had a thing that it was natural. It was with my teeth and my shoulders. And at a very early age, I started being prescribed codeine. You know, in fact, I have a song called Codeine where I say, Mr. Doctor, Mr. Doctor, what about me? You know, I'm asking about, you know, what's happening. And especially at that time, there wasn't like an awareness of addiction or anything. Like, so I never really understood what was happening to me until it was long too late. And then that BS about it's not habit forming and blah, blah, blah. When you don't have the money, they just write you the script to get you out of the office.
Right.
And so that, believe it or not, one foot in the other, 26 years.
When did it dawn on you that, hey, I'm in trouble here?
Well, the first time I tried to tell a doctor, she sat there and shook her head at me. I now know what I was dealing with is restless leg syndrome. That was physical withdrawal. I did not understand what that was. And I was sent out with more. Like they gave me more. And that I often wonder, like, would that have contributed to another 13 years of my life? That was my entire adult life, guys. You know? But I was able to, the good side is I was able to face all those fears to go to Europe with just a couple $100 in your pocket, you know, winging it.
Right.
Wow.
It gave me the courage to do all kinds of things. So, you know, as much as it damaged my life, I am very grateful that what I learned, what I experienced, the person I've become, and the fabulous people that I have met, and the happiness that I have today, guys, I could not have it that way if I didn't experience that dark.
What was the support network that you had to get through that? Obviously, I would imagine your music, but was there other people or something that you did to get through that?
Well, I effectively hid it. You know, I mean, I was really good at hiding it. And, you know, like most addicts are. And then when I was trying to get help, you know, someone overheard the call. And that's when it, you know, all that stuff. It wasn't sleep apnea that I was waking up gasping for air. That was actually an overdose. You know, things that I'm really not proud of, but it's reality of that journey. But again, once you go from that type of darkness and you come out on the other side, you know, you have a strength, you have a personal power, you have
a really this
right. And you find that, you know, what the world throws at you may suck, you may scream, you may cry, you know, that doesn't change anything, but you know, you'll take it head on, baby.
Yeah. You are reclaiming your health, passion, and have a new, renewed artistic vision.
Yes,
tell
sir.
Us about the triumph over adversity. Tell us about kind of how this affected your music.
Well, you know, 26 years is a long time. So that goes back for me for like 17, guys, right? I
mean, yeah.
Think about that. 17, then you just kind of wake up one day. You're this notorious guitar player, as they say. You've got these records, these things going out, and you've got this terrible thing that's making you sick. You know, and you're still trying to perform, you're still trying to meet your goals, your deadline. The pressure is unbelievable, you know. And so when I found my way in to recovery, I just decided, like, I had enough. You know, really, I just had enough. Nobody had to tell me anything. I was on my way there. And what saved my neck was Obamacare. I got my medical card, then I was able to address these medical issues, and then that was when I realized I was really in over my head. Oof. But again, I cannot stress to you enough that all the people that I know throughout recovery, they all say the same things. You know, you go in, you know, you feel like a little baby, you know, like you feel like you're no hope, your life is over, blah, blah. Then you come out, and you're like, No, that's just not true. And I remember shaking my head at all those cliches. I still hate them. You know, live for today, man. It's like, no, just leave me alone. You know.
But I guess there is some importance to them, and they hold or ring true, right. I guess. And so, especially with a story like you, where you've come out on the good side of this,
yeah,
of addiction.
I have friends I miss.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yeah. And you know, and so I had a special someone, but a cat. A cat was what did it.
Well,
like, it befriended me and, like, legit, just wanted nothing to do with me. One day, changed her mind.
Cats are awesome, Rocker.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
free of the cat.
Yeah. On that note, let's get back to live music in the lair with Mojo Perry, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us today, and I'll stay right here. The next song you have for us tonight is called A Kiss, and an old song written by a friend. Tell us about this song before you play.
All right. Now, I say old friend as a metaphor. My old friend, James, you'll figure it out real quick, right?
I see.
Right, but, you know, my pension for Hendrix, I'll never forget it, guys. Never forget it. I was a John Lennon nut like most people, right? Beatles, yeah. Psychedelic stuff, that was cool. We're on the same page.
Right.
And there was this thing on HBO, and I watched it. And, you know, John Lennon was supposed to be on. And then this flash, this black man with this huge afro playing the most wicked guitar and Voodoo Child Slight Return. I was like, wow, what was that? And to, you know, and that was where I fell in love with Hendrix. And so I have this, what I feel is a very intimate personal relationship with the guy.
Wow.
You know, I've read about him. I got books on his handwriting, all kinds of things. He's a really beautiful person.
He was super intelligent too, and such a great musician,
very
and songwriter.
Special, very genuinely special man.
What's something that people don't know about Jimi Hendrix that they should?
That they should? Well, you know, there's this odd theory that, you know, it broke my heart when I heard it, that he was murdered. Like, you know, like he had that bad management, right, with Jeffrey. Mm. He was real kind of bad dude, right? And Jimmy was like, I'm going to go back to jazz. I'm getting my new life back. I'm done here. I don't want this darkness in my life. And so he sent some thugs over to say, you need him to protect, you know, from this happening, right? You know, the age-old thing that they've done over the years, and he didn't like wine. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that people don't know about him. And what did he suffocate on? Wine.
Wow.
So he didn't touch wine. He just never drank wine. That was the thing. So that's the thing I've always found. You know, is it true? Broke my heart the day I heard it, but it makes sense.
Wow, I've never heard that before.
That's an interesting theory, that's for sure.
I think there's a video on YouTube about it. But the thing that I never knew about the guy, like all these things, like, you know, he would try anything. Like, you know, he was like Mikey. Hey, yeah. I'll do it, right? You know, but not wine.
Wine is fine, but.
Right, you know.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us in the Civic Media app. Mojo Perry is live in the lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Max Inc. on Civic Media.
Thank you.
woman, she's so pretty, but she causes me pain. Make love or break love, she drives me insane. All my sweet feelings, I wish I could caress. All my kiss. Many depression was breaking my heart. She's so pretty, but she's breaking me in two. We make love, we break love, I don't know what to do. And all my sweet feelings, I wish I could caress. Oh, with a kiss.
So, you know, like you break any mold, there's always going to be some type of pushback, right? And